There is one thing that I know we all would like, an extended warranty, a lifetime guarantee, something that can assure us that this is dependable. Sometimes people say things with good intentions, only to have whatever it was they promised us never come true. You ever heard people say that we'll do such and such at a such and such time? Sometimes they happen. Sometimes they do not. And we would always like to ask ourselves, is there some kind of test that I can use to prove to me that these people are reliable, that they are dependable? That's why a lot of corporations go through many tests of their products to see if consumers want to purchase it so it will last as long as they would like them to. Well, when it comes to spiritual matters, there is such a test. When you go to the book of Deuteronomy, you find in chapter 18, beginning in verse 15, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear, according to all you desire to the Lord your God at Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire any more, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, What they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, How shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him." Sounds like many people we know today, eh? There are people that we know say things, well, such and such is going to happen. Well, time comes and this thing did not happen. Therefore, they did not tell us the truth. But there is one individual in this text that was saying that will come. God said that he was sending his prophet among the people. Well, we also find that later in the Old Testament, there are many prophets that spoke about this individual. But one in particular I'd like to call your attention to is that of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 2, we read about King Nebuchadnezzar, who had just had a terrifying dream of an image that was made of its head of gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, and its legs of part iron and part clay. And certainly this troubled him because he did not understand what these things were going to mean. But because Daniel was the man that God found favor in, was willing to explain the dream to Daniel, Daniel was brought in before the king so that he could tell him the dream and the interpretation thereof. Daniel said in chapter 2, beginning in verse 44, "And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure." What a guarantee that is. This is certainly what you dream. And what I'm telling you that God told me to tell you, this interpretation is sure. You can depend upon it. It is reliable. And how do we know that? Because when we fast forward till the days of Jesus himself, we find, and indeed, these things came to pass. When you go to the Gospel of Luke, and there just look in the first chapter, notice what takes place just before Jesus' birth. In chapter 1 and verse 30, we find the angel of God said unto Mary, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth the Son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Isn't this exactly what Daniel said? Certainly. And who better to say this than the angel of God whom God sent? And then when we begin to read about the life of Jesus, he often told that the kingdom of God is at hand. Historians can prove that yes, there was a man by the name of Jesus that walked upon this earth. And we learn from Jesus himself in John chapter 17, verse 17, that God's word is truth. Jesus was the Word of God in the flesh, according to John chapter 1 and verse 14. So putting these all things together, what does that mean about Jesus and his kingdom? Well, in Matthew chapter 16, we read of where Jesus taught Peter. After Peter confessed Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of God, he told him that thou art Peter, but upon this rock I will build my church. And he went on to tell him that I'll give him the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever he would bind on earth would be bound in heaven. And whatever would be loosed on earth would be loosed in heaven. And then we're also taught in John chapter 18, verse 36, that the kingdom of Christ is not of this world. It's not a kingdom like all the other kingdoms. We were talking about the Jews a little while ago, and one thing the Jews had a problem with was their understanding of who the king is, of what kind of kingdom he would rule over. But later we're confirmed in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28 that the kingdom of God cannot be shaken. Remember that rock in that dream that broke the image and broke it into all kinds of pieces. We liken Christ to be the foundation, the chief cornerstone. He was and is and certainly is to come. And then we're taught in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12 that we are called into the kingdom by God. And I hope and pray that all of us can say that I have heeded that calling. I'm in God's kingdom. Why? Because I've heard about Jesus. I've learned about his birth, about his sinless life, about his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And therefore, I believed, I've repented of my sins, I've confessed him, and I've been baptized for the remission of my sins. That's what it's all about. That's what I've got to do if I want to be a part of the kingdom of God. That's what I've got to do if I want to have everlasting life in the home in heaven with God. Don't you want that too? Don't we want to share that message with others so that they too can become a part of God's kingdom? Well, I hope and pray that we all strive together to spread that message around. This evening, we are extending the invitation. There be one tonight that needs to respond to that invitation. Maybe you're not a part of the kingdom of God and wish to be. Or maybe you want to do your best to help others be a part of that. You can respond and we can assist you in any way as together we stand and sing.